You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 237 of the Shared Security Show. And joining me this week are the world's most wanted co-hosts, Scott Wright and Kevin Johnson.
We need mugshots or something, right?
I'm trying to figure out, are we wanted because people like us as co-hosts, or are we wanted because we're so bad at co-hosting, we're on the FBI top 10?
We'll never know.
I'm such a bad co-host.
They'll never catch me where I am.
That's right. I'll never get you in Canada.
Yeah, but they've got the mounted police to go after them. That's like, if you're going to be chased by the police.
Yeah. They've got horses.
As long as you can outrun the horses, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's just jump right into the stories this week, some interesting ones this week. And I wanted to start with there was an article on the IAPP site, which, if you don't know what that stands for, that's the International Association of Privacy Professionals. And it was about essentially a woman wrote this article about how she lost her phone and how she's asking, you know, when did our phone numbers become the new way of identifying people? And I think we've mentioned this on the show before, guys, that companies are starting to use phone numbers as identifiers. And what happens when you lose your phone and then you need to log back into all those apps that use your phone number instead of like your email address, right, for identity and verification? Because we all know about SMS two-factor being used, that you'll get a one-time passcode to log into your account, which comes through your phone number. She talks about some of the challenges here. I'd say some of them are definitely valid concerns, especially if you lose your device. My first question, of course, is, you know, backups, number one, iCloud backups. I think that's something that we mentioned on the show is, you know, any device you have, a phone, PC, Mac, whatever that is, you should be backing that up, because if it is lost, stolen, destroyed, hard drive crashes, things like your two-factor authentication apps, for one. Those are on there. But anyway.
And I'll tell you, I'm getting a new phone today. It's actually out for delivery. My phone, I'm irritable about it. My phone, which is less than 3 years old, has been crashing on a regular basis. And so I had to buy a new phone. Because while I have a more than mild phone addiction, it also is the way I do my business, right? Which I think ties into one of the other articles here today. I know from previous experience that my backups, things like that, many of my apps are going to come across seamlessly, please. For example, you know, Authy and my Google G Suite and stuff like that. But there's also other apps that the app itself doesn't pay attention to those types of things, right? Now, luckily, many of those are games, and losing the fact that I'm on level 77 million or something, Homescapes is not a big deal.
Just brings you back to reality.
Right. But that alone is a good reason to have this type of backup and stuff like this. And I'm lucky, my phone is crashing, but my phone is usable. So I'm able to, whereas for her, she's stuck in a situation where she doesn't have a phone at all. Now she has to do these recoveries. And if she did not plan for that, and I will tell you that based on some of the things she says that she was surprised by, I'm going to guess she was not as prepared for replacing a phone as we would recommend.
I personally don't like it when I go to a site and it requires my phone number as my main form of authentication.
I agree with you with context.
Okay.
I think there are certain things that I'm okay with it using my phone number. If it is somehow phone centric, like, for example, Uber.
Uber. Yeah. I was going to mention Uber. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with Uber using my phone number as my identifier. I know that it also can use my email, and it does.
They offer other ways, of course.
Right. But having it tied to my phone number, I'm okay with, because I'm accessing it from my, like, yeah, like the context, the usability, that type of thing. That's the only qualifier I have to your stream. I agree with you 100%, except in apps that
I think there's a subtle thing there though, Kevin. It absolutely makes sense for sure that it's the primary method of it, you know, knowing stuff about you and managing, you know, all the stuff that it's doing for you. But on the other hand, if you lose that phone and you don't have backups, what do you do when it comes to?
I get a new phone with the same phone number and I'm back up and running.
Okay.
Or using Uber as the example, my history in Uber is not critical to me. Worst case scenario, I create a new account.
But your identity really isn't then tied to your phone number. It's tied to your email, right?
No, my identity. If that's what I'm saying is, if I have not leveraged the other mechanisms that Uber has, it's tied to my phone number. So if I get a new phone number, but, and again, this is why context is important.
Yeah.
If I get a new phone number from Uber, if I get a new phone number and I didn't do anything and I'm now a new account to Uber, to me, I have lost nothing. Right? Now to Uber, I have, because they have a history, you know, my rank. Yeah. Maybe I peed in the backseat of a whole bunch of cars. Like they want to not let me in another Uber at that point. I have not peed in the backseat of any cars. I have gotten into cars that had been peed in.
You've been peed on in an airplane, but that's
I was
story.
Peed on in an airplane. And not by choice, to be clear, because I understand some people like that. Damn it, I knew that story would come up at some point.
Wow. Now I understand.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like there's certain things where it's okay, but if I got a new phone number and that meant I lost access to my email, that would be a problem, right? Because there's a history, there's a thing like that. I will throw it back at you though. Okay. So you don't like them using your phone number as your identifier. What do you want them to use? Yeah. What is the identifier that you believe is more robust than
It's a great
numbers?
Question. Because you could make the same argument with an email. Well, what if your email gets compromised?
Then they what have happens access if you leave the company account? That gave you the email, right?
Right.
What happens if the company you're using goes out of business? And I'm not saying I prefer email. I prefer to tie everything to email.
Yeah, email just has a long-standing sort of robustness. I mean, there's been hacks and weaknesses, but generally it's the accepted method. And I guess it's because the providers have been pretty reliable.
I would argue that my phone is more reliable than my email.
Depends on how you measure reliability, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, my phone is absolutely more accessible to me than my email address is. And history has shown, if we look at breach reports, if we look at compromises, more email addresses are compromised than phones.
Sure, absolutely, yeah,
right. And I prefer email. I'm totally agreeing with you guys. I'm just saying that when we look at context, and this is the thing, I shared that article from the librarian, the letter from the librarian, right? Mm-hmm. We all are privileged.
Right? Yeah, very much.
I will guarantee you that all three of us have actual broadband at our houses, not the U.S. definition of broadband, which is 25 meg down and 3 meg up.
Oh, it's pathetic. Yeah.
Idiots. Yeah. But we have actual broadband. We have modern computers. We have modern phones. We have access almost everywhere we go. And in most cases, if we don't have internet access, it's because we've chosen not to have internet access at that point. Right. But and this is I'm not going to vet this number. This is a number in a specific article, which Tom will be able to link to this. Right. This is an open letter from a librarian to the Google security team, who is basically saying, you know, are you aware of the fact that in the U.S., 13.6% of people do not have internet at home of any type? Not just they don't have fast internet or they don't have internet. And in certain zip codes in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, 60% of the population, and we can all make the assumption, and the letter actually clarifies it later, that we're talking about low-income minority areas of the city, 60% of the people, the only way they have access to the internet is through the computer at the library.
Wow.
And so when we talk about using identity, right, how do we identify that person? How do we take that person? And, you know, I saw many people when this letter came out, many people were like, well, this is why we need a national ID. And I'll point out how shitty some politicians have been with making ID a requirement and then removing the ability to easily get an ID. Mm-hmm. Again, targeting minorities and low income people, yeah. Right? We have to be very careful when we talk about identity, when we talk about, you know, this lady who lost her phone, that sucks. And I feel bad for her. And I sympathize with the problems she went through, but the hurdles she went through are nothing compared to somebody who's living on Section 8 housing, that the only way they maintain that housing is by maintaining their information to the government. And the only way they can maintain that is by going to the library and using a computer that has no other form of identifying them, right? And I mean, you know, I'm taking this down a path that we probably don't want to go into right now because we have limited time, but we have to make sure that as we push forward into this nirvana of holodecks and deep fakes and amazing identity.
There he goes with the holodecks again.
I love the idea of a holodeck. We have to make sure that we take into account that there is a significant number of people that have nowhere near the access we have.
Yeah, the digital divide, right?
Yeah. You know, too many of the things, Web3, the scam that it is completely designed around the idea that, oh yeah, of course you have internet access.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is a really, really good point. And a lot of the things that we see in articles and other things we talk, especially talking about authentication, do not talk about that fact. I mean, we've mentioned that about flip phones that were coming back, right?
Yeah.
Flip phones are very popular with certain areas of the country that maybe that's all they can afford. And they don't even have smartphones yet. So, yeah, fascinating stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, why don't we go into our favorite segment, which is Aware Much.
Aware Much.
Aware Much. Thanks, Tom. Our Aware Much segment is brought to you by ClickArmor, the first fully gamified awareness training and engagement platform. So I would guess that we have quite a few listeners who might classify themselves as being paranoid. And maybe some who go to hacker conferences like DEF CON.
Me.
So there's always that question about how do you protect your mobile devices and its communications when you go to these kind of hostile types of shows. There is a post that we found on Reddit by somebody who really thought this through and came up with a free throwaway phone configuration, which was really interesting. So do you guys want to describe what that is and what you think about that?
I mean, I'll generalize it is, you know, this time of year, because we're getting close, we call it Hacker Summer Camp, right? With we have B-Sides, Black Hat, and DEF CON all in the lovely city of Vegas, Las Vegas. Lovely might be the wrong word. cesspool that is known as Vegas. That might be a little bit better. But and everybody comes to these conferences to, you know, attend as an attendee, right, to see talks and network and things like that. But there's also people that come there to hack everybody and to, you know, it's just that type of event, right?
Yeah.
So people come up with creative ways of, instead of just keeping my phone off or using something like a Faraday sleeve from our sponsor, Silent, by the way, they come up with these things, these burner phones and other things. And I guess the point of this, I think, and Kevin, you had brought this up earlier, is that we kind of make a big deal out of the, here's how you prepare to attend DEF CON. And a lot of it can be very simplified, right? Basic common sense in some ways. Yeah. And I think we're over paranoid a bit when it comes to attending a hacker conference. You should be vigilant, obviously, but.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Are we over paranoid? And when I say we, I mean the people who randomly post things on Reddit and blogs. Or are we leveraging the Hacker Summer Camp mystique?
That's a good point.
To promote our own crud, right?
Yeah.
Like, because here's my thing. I've heard this for years. I've been going to DEF CON longer than I would like to admit, because I'm old.
Yeah.
Right. What are we at? DEFCON 30?
Yeah, this is the 30.
Isn't this year 30?
Yes,
like Super Bowl. The
first one I went to was 12 or 14.
I was a 14.
Right? And I know that I'm young in DEFCON age compared to many people, right? DEFCON age, that's a new thing. So I've heard this every year. Like, oh my God, get a burner phone. Why?
Yeah.
What are you so afraid of? Why is your phone so insecure? Because let's go back to the same thing, right? We just talked about this in the last article. If I lose my phone, like I'm going to carry my phone to DEF CON. I'm going to be in Vegas. It's going to be a brand new phone because my phone arrives today, right? I hope, knock on wood, it arrives today. I'm going to have a brand new phone. It's going to have all my stuff on it. It's going to have all my accounts on it. And it's going to be in my pocket, right? If I lose that phone, what's going to happen? Well, one, the phone's encrypted. Two, I have a strong passcode, biometric, blah, 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 whatever, right? Is it possible that somebody's going to have a zero day that they're going to throw randomly?
They're not going to burn a zero day on you.
Why would you? Right? Like that's like this no idea of, well, I go to DEF CON and they're just random Wild West and everybody's dying. You know, people lived in the Wild West.
It's like the Star Wars cantina, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And people lived there. There were lots of people in the Star Wars cantina that drank fine, that lived their lives. Nothing happened, right? This idea of, oh, and by the way, let's be very clear. This idea that I'm scared of DEF CON, I'm scared of my data, I'm scared of this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a burner phone, install this random app that an anonymous person from Reddit said was a good idea, and I'm going to tie my entire identity and data access to this bullshit thing I downloaded off the internet. You're an idiot. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm not saying this guy's attacking people. This person, whoever they are, they took some time, they researched it, but we know nothing of this app.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, this will be safe. Because I'll tell you right now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to buy a burner phone. What are you going to do the first thing you get to it? You're going to log into your Google account.
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly, right? Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Or don't bring a phone at all.
Yeah.
Imagine the nirvana you'll have not checking your Candy Crush score every minute.
That's how I look at it. Like, I'm going to have my phone just powered off because I look at it as like it's a way for me to like digitally detox myself. Right.
Yeah.
for a couple days. Honestly, it's the way I look at it. And I think, and maybe Scott, you're going to get to this, is like there's some basic things that obviously you should do. I mean, just turn off your Wi-Fi, turn off your Bluetooth. Right. I mean, common things. I mean, those are things that people do go after Wi-Fi at DEF CON. That has been proven.
You should have your Wi-Fi and your Bluetooth off if you're not using it.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah, but nobody does that, Kevin.
Right.
Okay. Says the guy who publishes his phone number every episode.
904-403-0224.
That's his way of authenticating.
I don't know.
I want that number everywhere.
Kevin's an enigma. All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. But yeah, I mean, the basics, safe security stuff, especially people going to hacker conferences should understand, you know, and it almost does seem a bit like a bit of a sensational thing to talk about, hey, this is a cool way I did things and get people to talk about you. But I mean, maybe it was just legitimate and that's fine. It just reminded me a little bit of when I was doing the Honeystick project, when I was dropping smartphones around different cities.
Mm-hmm.
I had the first round of them, actually Sprint donated them to Symantec, you know, for us to do the project. In the second round, I found that I could buy them at, you know, I don't know what you call it here, but, or in your area, but, you know, factory direct or whatever. It's like, it's not really factory. It's like secondhand stuff, right? Like unlocked phones you can buy for like $80 and get a pay as you go SIM card. And, you know, the whole thing I got working for less than $100 per phone. So, I mean, if you're spending thousands of dollars to go to DEF CON and pay for hotels and entertainment, and you can't pay $100 for a burner phone or whatever, you know, that's, I don't know. That's the idea that I had. But this installment of Aware Much has been brought to you by ClickArmor, the first fully gamified awareness and engagement platform. So we get a lot of managers who struggle with employee participation in their compliance programs. And that's why we built ClickArmor to harness the proven power of gamification. It's not a gimmick or even a game, really. It's just providing a more interactive and fun way to use psychological drivers to make it more enjoyable and effective. So you can run a pilot program right now in your organization for as little as $325. And if you do it now, you'll be ready for a larger scale deployment at Security Awareness Month, right?
Nice.
So go to clickarmor.ca/quickstart and get started within minutes. And that's it for this installment of Aware Much.
All right. Well, let's go to our last story, which to continue the phone episode. I don't know how I chose all phone related stories. This is interesting. But so Samsung is announcing repair mode, which will stop technicians from looking at your photos and your private data if you ever have to get your phone repaired. And this has been an issue.
Yeah.
Where we've had, I know there was a big lawsuit. Apple, I guess, was sued because Apple technicians at the Apple store were looking at people's photos and then posting them elsewhere online and things like that. And so Samsung is releasing this with the Galaxy S21 series in a software update. And yep. I think this is a good thing.
Really good idea. Yeah. I mean, every time you add a security feature or a convenience to something, I always think, so how can that be exploited? There's always a vulnerability somewhere. Well, I mean, the vulnerability could be you might have to have a special password or something. And will you forget the password or, you know, what other things could go wrong in this kind of thing?
You're absolutely right. Every time I hear about these new features, like, oh, we're going to do this thing. And it's like, okay, you've added a level of complexity. And we all know that when we add complexity, we add difficulties, we add the potential for vulnerabilities, everything else like that. Yeah. But on the other side, giving me a feature that helps me protect myself.
Yeah.
Even if I can't always use it. Like, for example, you know, my phone dies. And I've had this happen. I was in Chicago. Don't know why that matters, but I was in Chicago. I woke up and my phone felt like it was burning. It was just frozen. It wouldn't turn on. And it was just heating up. And it was bad. It was a hardware failure. I could go and take it to get replaced. But if I gave it to them to fix it, there's no way I could have enabled this mode as it's described. And there's very little technical details right now. But right, because it requires you to say to the phone, hey, I'm about to give you to the repair person. Yep. Go into this mode.
Yeah, setting.
That's great. It's not always be available. But that's an exception, right?
Like, yeah, very much.
Having the ability to protect me is good. I like this, and I'll admit I'm a bit of a Samsung person. You know, the phone I'm getting today is the Fold. I'm aware that in a few days they're announcing the new ones. I wasn't going to buy the brand new one anyways. So I like Samsung. But I think, and what I'd like to see, especially with Apple being one of the key organizations around with regards to this type of problem, the fact that they've had it, I'm not saying Apple is at fault here, I'm saying, right? I'd love to see the iPhone add something like this.
So they do have, Apple does have this diagnostic mode that so techs will use if you take your Apple device to the Genius Bar, right, at an Apple store, but only Apple technicians can use it because it requires a interface that is only available through being an Apple tech, right? So they don't need your passcode as an example. They can figure out what's wrong with your phone by plugging it in. There's an interface that they have. It doesn't access, from what I've read on this little post on Reddit, from an Apple tech that actually works there. He said that, you know, but it's not enabled by the consumer. This is something that they do.
You sort of rely on the Apple guys to do the right thing to protect you from them.
I know that sounds, you know, crazy, but hopefully Apple will come out with something that's in like typical Apple, right? They'll copy something off of Android.
This is definitely something I would say, you know, it's not protecting you from people who are targeting you, really. It's more of an opportunistic threat, right? It's the whole idea of putting a password on your device. It's really just protecting it, as Kevin said, protecting yourself.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, that's all we have time for this week. But I will be out, and I know Kevin, you'll be out at Hacker Summer Camp next week. I'll be there all week because I'll be speaking at B-Sides.
I will not.
You will not, but one day we'll get you out there, Scott.
That's right. I'll be there
one day. I arrive Wednesday, I believe, and leave Sunday.
Yeah, I'm Monday and Monday through Friday, so I've got a long week ahead. So
have a safe trip, guys.
Thank you very much, and we will catch all of you next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.